All right, good morning, Open Door. Great to be with all of you. In case I've not had the chance to meet you, my name is Mark Geisbauer, and I get to serve here as the executive pastor. And I'm so excited to be sharing with you what I feel like God's word is teaching you and me this morning. And hopefully you'll be able to walk away with something tangible for you to implement this week. But before I'm going to get into our message today, let me just share a couple of thank yous. This summer has been unlike a lot of others. As you know, Pastor Jim has been on sabbatical for the last 2 months, and he's going to be back next month, and we're excited to have him back. But not only did our team and our staff just kind of coast over these last 2 months, actually, they continue to step up. And so one of those examples is the videos that we show you before each message. I don't know if you know this, but our team, not usually what we would do is we would go buy some of those videos and then show them to you. But in this case, our team has said, no, we want to customize them. We want to make them special to our community and our church family each time somebody goes up and steps up to the podium to open God's word. And so our communications team and our worship leaders and some other staff members actually created these short videos that you're watching each Sunday individually just for you and for me. And so just super grateful for talented people who use their gifts to glorify God. The other group of people that I want to thank this morning is our incredible pastors. I mean, truthfully, I don't know about you, but man, our campus pastors and our guest preachers have stepped it up big time over these last few months as we've been going through the book of Acts. Yeah, that deserves a round of applause. If you see one of our campus pastors or somebody that's been teaching, give them a high five or whatever you want to do, just to encourage them, let them know how much they are appreciated. And I love the fact that we have talented people using their gifting. And then last week, we had some guest preachers, some people at our campuses preaching for the very first time, absolutely killing it. And then even some other people stepping up on a bigger stage, sharing God's word. And I love that even now we already have a next generation of leaders coming in and already empowered by God's word, sharing it boldly. But today, I want us to look at God's word together. I want us to share about a story that I feel like God has put into the book of Acts for a purpose for you and for me. But before I do that, let me just say too, greetings from Pastor Jim. Before I forget, I had the chance to talk to him a couple of weeks ago, and we greatly miss him. We're grateful for other people stepping in, but I'm also looking forward for his return and just grateful. And so he sends his greetings to all of you. He misses us just as much. And Jim, if you're watching, just know that you are very loved. But since you're on sabbatical, I hope you're not watching. So let's get that out of the way. But really just, he's so grateful. And he's been really been able to dig more into God's word. And he has been writing another book on discipleship and how do we implement discipleship in our day-to-day lives. He's been visiting with other churches. In fact, when I talked to him, it was just in San Diego talking to a church leadership team at a church, trying to hear from God what God is for us. And so can't wait for him to return soon to do that. But I do want to look at specifically Acts 8 today. And so if you want to open up your Bibles to Acts 8, I'll give you a few seconds here to do that. And I want to read the whole story of what we're going to be looking at today. But before that, I need you to pause for just one moment. And I need you to close your eyes. Just sit back, relax for a second. Close your eyes and just listen to the sound. Well, I don't know about you. Yes, that was nails on a chalkboard, in case you didn't know. And I've got goosebumps. I'm sorry. But why would I do that to you? It has a purpose, I promise. I'm not just cruel. But the reason is because I want to make us a little bit uncomfortable today. I think a Christian, especially in America, it's so easy for us to go to church on a Sunday and just go through the motions and thought, oh, that was really entertaining, and then go home, but nothing changes. And so today I'm going to challenge you throughout this message, no matter where you are in your walk with Jesus, if you're still exploring him and don't really have a relationship, or maybe you've walked with him for many, many years, I want to challenge you. I want to ask you to do something and maybe just step out of a little bit outside your comfort zone just today. But let's look at God's word together. Acts 8, we're going to be looking at the verses 26 to 40 as Philip has an encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. And so in reverence to God's word, why don't we just all stand up together at all of our campuses? And I love what Pastor Clay actually said a couple of weeks ago, now it's probably been a month or so. He said, truthfully, God's word is what's most important. All I'm going to give you is color commentary around it, but what matters is God's word. And so let's look at that together as we're reading out of chapter 8 in the book of Acts. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasuries of the Kandaki, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was on his way home. He was sitting at his chariot reading out of the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and he heard a man reading Isaiah, the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scriptures that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. All right. There we go. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. You can take a seat. What a fascinating story in the book of Acts. Some may think it's a by chance encounter, but I think there's way more to this story. And hopefully you're going to be able to identify with one of the two people in the story. And so I want to focus on the two, really the only characters that are in this story, the only human characters. One of them is clearly the Ethiopian eunuch, and then the other one is Philip. And maybe you find yourself identifying with one of them this morning. And so I'm going to start with the Ethiopian eunuch with us this morning. Now, I want to do this a little bit different because, yes, I speak really fast. And number two, I have a lot of points. I want to get through it. And so what I want you to do is you see in your outlines that you have actually blank lines. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put 8 or 9 different characters that are right out of scripture about each of these people on the screen. But what I want you to do is just to kind of think through, hey, what's something that I can relate to? What's something that's meaningful to me? And then just write that down. Don't try to write them all down. I'm going to go way too fast. But just pick out a few that are meaningful to you that you want to remember as you're going into later today and tomorrow. And so let's start with the Ethiopian eunuch. And so we're not given his name, so we can't call him by anything, but we know where he's from. He's from Ethiopia, right? It's in his title. And back then, that included obviously what we call today Ethiopia and Africa, but it also included some parts of the Sudan. The other part, if you paid close attention, that we were reading earlier is that we clearly know that he was rich and powerful. I mean, this guy had it together. In fact, the Bible tells us that he was kind of a minister of finances, or maybe he was a CFO if you're in the business world. He clearly knew his stuff. He was rich, he was powerful, he was traveling on his chariot that fit more than one person, because if you see that, and Philip invites him in. And so clearly, he was a powerful and strong man serving the queen of Ethiopia. Now, you may wonder, why was he serving the queen? Well, simply because back then, the king actually was considered a god. And so because he was considered a god, he would not bother himself with running the day-to-day operations. That was the queen's responsibility because he was a god. But that put also the king into a dilemma a little bit, because he clearly had all these powerful and smart guys working closely with the queen. And so he had a great idea. of how to fix that problem, he would turn everybody working closely with the queen into a eunuch. He would castrate them to make sure that there was no scandal, no risk of anything happening, which I have no doubt left a lot of shame and pain on this Ethiopian eunuch. Now, something that is a little bit surprising is that he was also a traditional Jew. Because remember, I just told you that the king actually was considered a god, and so this eunuch made a conscious choice not to follow the traditions of his country, but to follow Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament. And so we see that clearly because when we meet this Ethiopian eunuch, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So he took that upon himself to go to Jerusalem to worship the God of the Old Testament. And so what that meant was that either he was a naturally born Jew, which meant he was born in a Jewish family, but more likely he would have never gotten that kind of resume and kind of stage on being in a CFO position. And so more likely, actually, after his life, he converted into Judaism. And so not only is he traveling to worship, he's trying to do all the right things for his newfound faith. But with that being said, he still felt like an outsider, undoubtedly. Because not only did he travel long distances to go from Ethiopia to worship Jerusalem, we also know that because he was a eunuch, he was not allowed to go into the temple. Because Deuteronomy 23 verse 1 clearly states that no one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may ever enter into the assembly of God. So he was trying to do all the right things. He was trying to comply with all the right rules and regulations of his faith, but he still felt like an outsider, and maybe you can relate to that. But not only was he very dedicated to his faith, he was committed of doing the right things. I told you it was a long distance to travel from Ethiopia to Jerusalem just to worship. And in fact, what that meant is that that is a distance over 1,000 miles between those two points. And back then, that took him over 3 months just to go and worship in Jerusalem and then not even being allowed to go into the temple. So he's trying to do all the right things. He's trying to follow the rules, apply what matters to him, and then not even being allowed in. And at the same time, getting a lot of ridicule, undoubtedly, in his own country because he's not worshiping his boss, who's considered a king, considered a god, the king, but following the Jewish traditions. So he's, from the outside appearance, has it all together. He's doing all the right things. He's going to the temple and following all the religious rules. But there's still something missing inside. We also see that this eunuch is still searching for something else. He thinks and knows that that can't be it. There's got to be something more for him. And so one of the reasons why we see that is because when Philip meets him, he's actually reading out loud the book of Isaiah. Now, the interesting thing is he's not even supposed to have the book of Isaiah in the first place. That was only allowed for priests. So I guess back then, as it is today, like if you just have enough money, you can get around the rules, apparently. But that's not the only thing. He actually reads it out loud. And I do that a lot of times when I want to make sure I fully understand something. And so he is searching and he is questioning things about his newfound faith. And he's looking for more. But then one thing that I probably admire most about this Ethiopian eunuch is that he is humble and teachable. Now you see, in a person in this position, rich and powerful, clearly has to have it all together. How quickly do we fall into the trap then to pretend that we know it all? But that's not what this Ethiopian eunuch does. He realizes that there's only so much that he knows and that there's something missing, and so he's willing to admit that. Because as soon as Philip asks him the question, hey, do you even know what you're reading? It would have been easy to end the conversation right there and then and just saying, yep, I'm good. Thanks, buddy. Keep on going. I'm good. No, he invites him into the chariot. He says, hey, why don't you join me and explain it to me? Because I don't know unless somebody explains it to me. And then he listens to the answers that Philip's providing to him, pointing him back to Jesus. But not only is he searching and now he's humble and teachable, When then Philip explains to him about this Jesus character, which just on a side note, fascinating to think about that the words of Isaiah were written 750 years before Jesus was born and perfectly describing him as the Messiah. And so as Philip is explaining that to the Ethiopian eunuch, he also is willing to act. He doesn't just allow the knowledge to be it, but he's like, no, let's go and do something about it. And so in your notes, if you look at your Bible, then we may have a little asterisk at verse 37. And that's simply because what I'm going to read to you in a minute is not in all the manuscripts of the Bible, but a lot of them have that in there. That is that Philip said to him, if you believe with all your heart, and you may, the eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so not only does this eunuch find out about Jesus, but there and then he makes a decision for Jesus. And then when Philip goes on to explain to him what Jesus' last words were to him and to all of us today, which were the Great Commission, right? Go into the world, make disciples, and then what? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And so what does this Ethiopian eunuch do? He's humble, he's teachable. So he says, well, look, there's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And so what does Philip do? He baptizes him. He is willing to act on his beliefs. He's not trying to gain more information before he makes a decision. He's a man of action and says, all right, let's go. Jesus says, I want to get baptized after I've been saved. All right, let's do it. And that's what he does. So these are just a few things about this Ethiopian eunuch that at least as I was thinking and praying for us this morning stood out to me. And so take a minute to take just a couple of them and write them into your empty pages, something that you can relate to. Now, I got to be honest, I think a lot of us can relate to that. In fact, I got to be honest, I can relate to that story as well, because a lot of times that was my life. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was an elder at our church. My mom was very heavily involved in the church as well, come from wonderful parents. I knew a lot about the Bible. They would do Bible study with me. I would attend VBSs. I would do all sorts of things. And I honestly would know all the right things to say. If you asked me why Jesus died for me, I could have repeated it blindly. In fact, here you see me even going on a mission trip. And I knew all the right things. I had the lingo down. And I knew a lot about Jesus. But looking back, I actually realized now that I knew a lot about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, okay, yeah, I've got all the knowledge and I can answer all the questions. And, you know, I've been doing my Bible study and maybe I've even learned about Jesus in school, or, you know, I post things on social media and sometimes Bible verses so people think that I'm spiritual, or I know all these things and, you know, I'm a Christian, but deep down inside, you know that there's gotta be more. Maybe you see it in other people and say, man, I want to have that fire that this other person has and there's something missing. Maybe it is because you know about Jesus, but you don't know him. And so let me challenge you this morning. If that is you, take that step. I did, and it was the best decision I ever made. And so we'd love to talk to you about that. We'd love to walk alongside you. And so if that is you, just do what the Ethiopian eunuch did. Very simple. Stay curious. A lot of times we're afraid to ask questions. We feel like, well, if I have doubts in my faith or I don't know about this or that, I can't ask anybody. Well, stay humble and teachable in your journey and just find somebody that walks alongside you that maybe is a little bit further in that journey than you are and just ask them. Saying, hey, can you explain this to me? Can you help me? I know for us as pastors, for our staff, for our life group leaders, for anybody who loves Jesus, there's nothing more that they would rather do than spend time with you over a cup of coffee talking to you about this Jesus guy and introducing him to a real life personal relationship with him. So take advantage of that opportunity and invite people on that journey with you so you can meet the real Jesus. And then if you've heard about him, if you've asked your questions, then also don't be shy to make a decision. Don't think that you have to know everything. No, there is a part of faith where we're not going to have all the answers. And we just have to take that leap of faith and trust in him and seeing if he is who he really promises he is. And so then make a decision and act on your beliefs. And maybe you've already taken that step and you've been, you know, you believe in Jesus and you have a relationship with him, but you've never taken that step of baptism, let me encourage you this morning too that God's word clearly says, you believe in Jesus, you go, you become a disciple of Jesus, and then you get baptized. And so maybe you were baptized as a child and it was never your decision, or you've never been baptized, but you're like, oh man, I've been a believer for so long, it's gonna look weird if I'm gonna get baptized, people are gonna think about me and about my faith. Who cares? It matters what Jesus cares about. And that is about you and your life and our obedience to him. And if Jesus says, get baptized, let's get out some water and let's get some baptism going. Let's take those steps and be faithful to what God has for you and for me. But then there's also another person in our story today, and that is the story of Philip. And Philip is very, very different than the Ethiopian eunuch. He lives a very different life. He comes from very different circumstances. In fact, in the book of Acts, four chapters talk about Philip. Chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 8, which we really find out most about Philip, is the one that we're in today. And then we revisit him at chapter 22. And so I'm going to summarize a little bit of his life for us. And the first thing we need to know, and you need to know, is that Philip was a pretty ordinary man. He was a pretty simple guy. In fact, he was a guy that needed a lot of prayer. Why do I know that? It's because the Bible talks about him having four daughters. I got two and my hands are full, so I don't know how he managed with four. But he was a pretty ordinary guy. He was a family guy. He cared about people. And so what we also know about Philip is that he was one of the first deacons at the church. And I'm going to read in a moment that passage, but that meant that he was not Philip, the disciple of Jesus. That was one of those two, but they just shared the same name. And then actually in the book of Acts, as the church starts to explode, the disciples realize, oh, this is way too many things that we can do. And so why don't we find some people who love Jesus to help us with some of the distribution for the widows and the care things that we're doing in our church. And so they're coming up with a list. Acts 6, it says, this proposal was pleasing to the whole group. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith of the Holy Spirit, and then also Philip and a bunch of names I can't pronounce. But Philip was one of those first deacons of the church. He was one of those first people that somebody saw something and was like, man, this guy loves Jesus, so let's give him some more responsibility. So he was an ordinary man, but also he was a man of God, and he also was a missionary. Back then, and so I know we're jumping around a little bit in the book of Acts, and so if you remember, we actually were way further ahead in the book. I'm going to take us back to Acts 8, where we are today, because back then, Paul was actually still Saul, and he wasn't saved yet. Paul was still actively persecuting the church at that point in time, and we always think about Paul as this great missionary that we're all following as an example, but Philip didn't have that. But in Acts 6, we also find out that Philip's already out there reaching the community of the Samaritans, the people that nobody in the Jewish community liked, the people that nobody wanted to spend time with, but because Jesus said, go and teach the world to, right, people in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all around the world, well, Philip was one of the first people that we see stepping out of his comfort zone, reaching people that looked different, that felt different, that were the enemy, that people didn't want to associate with. But why did he do that? Because he had a heart for people. He found something in his own life, in this person, Jesus, that he wanted to share with others, no matter what they looked like, no matter what they believed, no matter where they came from. He wanted to make sure that they knew the good news about Jesus. He had that burning and desire inside of him to reach people for him and reach the lost. And so it didn't matter what that took. And so the one thing I love, or many things I love about Philip, but one thing is that he was not afraid. Back then, times were hard to share your faith. This was when persecution of the church actually started. And if you remember, he was one of the first, he was the second deacon named in this. Do you guys remember the first deacon I put up? The first one was Stephen. And just a chapter before this story that we're reading, we find out that that Stephen was actually stoned to death. He was a martyr for his faith. And so if I'll be like, Philip, I have all the excuses in the world not to do anything, right? I mean, you know, if Philip was, if Stephen was the first on the list and they killed him already, well, guess who's second? Me. So I'm going to hide away. I'm going to not share my faith. But that's not how Philip responded. He said, there's nothing that's going to stop me from sharing about this Jesus. What a great example for you and for me today. And one of the reasons why he was able to do that is simply because he was attentive and led by the Spirit. He was one of those guys that constantly would ask himself, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to show me? He would start every morning and asking Holy Spirit, hey, let me see people through your eyes today, not my own. He would be looking for opportunities where the Spirit may be moving and then jump on it. And if something went wrong, he would be saying, hey, Jesus, what are you trying to teach me? Holy Spirit, what are you trying to teach me through this experience? And because he was constantly looking and trying to find opportunities to share his faith with others, he also was obedient. So when the Spirit would prompt him about something, he would jump into action. It's interesting, if you read the story that we read this morning closely, you'll notice that the Spirit at the beginning doesn't say, hey, Philip, great day, you're ready to go. You know, why don't you go to this road? You're going to find somebody there. They're going to invite you to this chariot. You're going to share about the prophet Isaiah. He's going to get a believer. He's going to get baptized. We're going to put this story in the New Testament, and it's going to be awesome, man. It's not what the Spirit tells him. In fact, the first thing the Spirit tells him is, go to this desert road. Now, what you need to know about this desert road is that actually, if you look at the history books, it was an old highway. And so it was a way to get from Jerusalem to Gaza. But since then, they've built a new road. And so everybody was traveling the new road. And so really, literally, the Spirit would tell Philip, go in the middle of nowhere and see what I'm going to do. That's it. But he was obedient. He took that step. And then the second thing, even when the Spirit sees and he sees that chariot in distance, he's not going to say, oh yeah, go there and there's going to be this person going to start up this conversation. No, he says, Spirit just said, hey, just go and go to this chariot. And what does he do? Don't know where God's leading, don't know what this means, but I'm going to go anyway. Not only was he obedient, he actually was passionate about the Spirit of God. And I love this little tidbit that the Bible story in Acts gives us, because the Spirit tells him, hey, go to this chariot and then I'm going to give you further instructions. So just go. And what does he do? He runs. He didn't just walk up casually or was like, oh, I'll get there when I get there. Oh, this is far. I've already been walking a long way. No, Spirit says, you go, and he goes. He runs towards that chariot. Nothing, he doesn't allow anything to stop him from following what the Spirit tells him. Another thing we notice about Philip in this story is that he is not intimidated at all. Think about it. Here is this ordinary guy, this family man with probably not the richest people because he's in ministry, but he is, you know, he's obedient to God. And then on the other side, you have this powerful, strong, rich CFO type person. And how easy would it have been for Philip to feel inadequate? Or to feel like, oh my goodness, I can't talk to him. In fact, actually, he probably should be giving me advice. But that's not what Philip does. Again, Philip is not intimidated by riches and powerfulness because he knows that God and Jesus are on his side and he has something to share. And truthfully, that challenges me because a lot of times I look at people in our world and I'm afraid. I'm intimidated. I don't want to share my faith because what they may think of me. But I'm encouraged by the example of Philip not being intimidated. Now, Philip also knows a lot about the Bible and the Old Testament specifically, because nobody told him that the eunuch was going to be reading out of the prophet of Isaiah. And so he clearly had done his homework. He clearly had gained a lot of knowledge about God's word, and he's studying it, and he was in the temple and learning as much as he could, but it didn't end there either. I love that his faith is not just knowledge, but the knowledge turns into action. And I think a lot of times we as Christians make that mistake. We feel like as long as I know enough about the Bible, as long as I have all the knowledge and I can win all the Bible trivias and I can name all of the books of the Bible in the right order, we're going to be good. But no, the Bible clearly says that if our faith doesn't turn into action, it's dead. That means that if our knowledge doesn't produce anything in you and in me, it's wasted. And so he is knowledgeable and actionable about his faith, and he's not afraid to use it. But he also knows enough that he doesn't have to pretend to know anything that he doesn't. And so this reminds me about 1 Peter 3:15, where it says this, and this is a challenge to us as believers. He says, put in your hearts, River, Christ as Lord. And then always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason of the hope that you have. And then do this with gentleness and respect. So I'm gonna be frank. I'm German, I'm very direct. Are you ready to share your faith? Would somebody approach you today and say, hey, tell me about this Jesus guy, what do you know? Would you be ready to give an answer? It's challenging to me. But what this verse tells us is that we need to be always ready to share about our faith. And so maybe today over lunch, you can ask each other, hey, tell me about your faith story. Tell me about this Jesus guy. And help ourselves to get ready to always share our faith with others. But then also remember the end of this verse. Do this with gentleness and respect. I love the fact that we can see that Philip is incredibly wise in his approach. He doesn't run up to the chariot and saying, hey, here's this track and here's this Bible verse, and here's this podcast and here's this book you need to read. You know, go, I'll give you all the answers you need. No. What does he do? He runs up to the chariot. He walks alongside it. He listens to the eunuch read out loud. And then he asks, do you understand what you're reading? He's not interested in throwing out the answers and, you know, given all the knowledge that he's gained over the years on this eunuch and, you know, kind of tells him everything he needs to know. No, he asks a question. He asks for the eunuch to invite him in. And I think a lot of times when I've shared my faith in the past, I kind of like, I wanted to let them know how smart I am and pretty much just tell them everything I know, but they didn't need to know any of that. They just needed to know about Jesus. So the other thing I love about Philip and his wise approach is that Philip never makes it about himself. In fact, the reason why I know that is because at the end of the story, after the baptism happens, the Bible says that all of a sudden Philip disappears and then 54 miles away turns up in another town. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to imagine things in my mind. And so I think it's like a magic trick. We're like, poof, and he's gone. But the interesting thing is that the Ethiopian eunuch at that point in time, it doesn't say, oh, and he wondered where he went or he started searching for him. No, because Philip made it about Jesus and not himself, the Ethiopian eunuch doesn't even seem to know that he's gone. And all it tells us is that the Ethiopian eunuch went on rejoicing about Jesus. And so as we're sharing our faith, as we're engaging people in the community, let's do it for the right reasons. Let's do it not to look smart or look good in front of people, but let's share about Jesus and let's keep the focus on him. And then lastly, Philip clearly makes outreach and evangelism a habit. Because we see him reaching out to people before our story today in Samaria, then we see him sharing his faith with the Ethiopian eunuch. And then as soon as he gets into another town, Azotus, we see him sharing the faith again, and then again and again and again until he gets to Caesarea. And so let's not make evangelism just a checkmark thing of, okay, I shared my faith today, I can move on. No, it needs to become a habit of ours when we share our faith with other people. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. And like I said at the beginning, I'm gonna make ourselves a little bit uncomfortable. No worries, I'm not gonna play the sound again. But I want to challenge us to share our faith today. And so over this series, we told you at the beginning that we're going to challenge you once a month at least to step out of your comfort zone just a little bit. And I love what Pastor Clay did 2 months ago when we launched into this series. He gave us a little piece of paper and he says, hey, why don't you think about somebody who doesn't know Jesus and for a whole week, pray for him and for other people like him. You guys remember that? I've seen so many people like sharing stories afterwards and say, man, that was so impactful and I want to continue to pray with them. And so please do that. And then last month, Pastor Jason came up and he told us, hey, in order for us to be effective in the kingdom of God, we need to dial down the noise a little bit. We need to slow down and pay attention to where the Spirit is moving, and we need to dial it back a little bit. And so we send you text messages once a day for a whole week with different prompts of saying, hey, tune down your life a little bit so you have time and bandwidth to listen to where the Spirit may be moving in your life. And so today, I'm gonna challenge you to do the same, to pray for people, to listen to the Spirit, but then also to go into our communities, to see where God may be moving, and maybe you can make a difference in somebody else's life. And so the way we wanna do this is we're gonna follow the example of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and also Jesus that sent out his people in twos. He sent out his disciples into the world in twos. And so don't try to do it alone. Try to find other people around you that will walk on that journey with you. It's so easy to give up if you're by yourself, but if you're in a community of people, it's so much easier to do things, especially when they're outside of our comfort zone. And so at the beginning of our service, our announcers should have told you about that we want you to join a group. Now, part of that is because we want you to experience the excursion and get the most out of the time we're going to be spending when Pastor Jim is back. But at the same time, it's a great opportunity for you to use your men's group, your women's group, your life group to do this exercise. And so if you're a life group leader, you're going to see that this week, instead of giving you a bunch of questions, I only gave you a few, and then I want to give you time to live this out in community. But maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not signed up for a group yet. So number one, do that. But then also, the campus pastors at the end of our service are going to come up, and as they're closing, they're going to give you an opportunity to join them. Because we want anybody to have any kind of excuse not to live out what God calls us to do. And so make sure that either you do it with your life group or your men's or women's groups, or if you want to join the campus pastor at your campus, living it out, let's do that together. And so after you found a group, you need to start praying, just like we talked about. Start praying for God to move. Start praying for God to show you who to reach and what to do and where to go. Because if it comes about our own strength, it's worthless. It has to come from God. But then also, don't leave it laying there. Just go. Go to a local coffee shop. Go to a grocery store. If you have kids, go to a park. Go to somewhere where people are. If you're aware and the Spirit prompts you to go to visit a friend or a family member or a coworker that's going through a hard time and that's where the Spirit is leading you, then go. Put yourself in an uncomfortable position. But then listen to the Spirit. Don't go in with guns blazing, with your big Bible under your head and your Jesus t-shirt and say, all right, let me tell you what I think. No. Say, Spirit, I'm here. I'm available. You sent me. Now where do you want me to go? And as you're hearing the Holy Spirit, as you're listening to his voice, as you're trying to discern, and most likely that's not going to be a big angel showing up next to you. It may just be a little tug. Hey, why don't you go to talk to that person? Why don't you go there? Then obey. Go and follow up what God wants you to do. Don't delay, just go. And just follow the Spirit. Because one thing I've learned in my life is the more I'm obeying the Spirit, the more he talks to me. And so if you want the Spirit to talk to you more, just start doing what he's asking you to do. Even if it's silly, even if it takes you out of your comfort zone, even if you're intimidated, take a step. But then also, let me encourage you to relax. I know a lot of times we as believers, we feel like, man, every conversation needs to, you know, end up in a conversion and somebody becoming a Christian. And those are some of my favorite conversations, don't get me wrong, but that's not the case. Do you know that your role is not to convert somebody to Jesus? That's the Holy Spirit's role. Our role is to be available, to listen, and to engage. That's it. And if that person gives you the stiff arm, or if that person, you know, doesn't like what you have to say, that's okay. You've done your part. And I also want to give you a second picture of true relaxes, because not every conversation ends in a touchdown. I'm a sports guy, so I had to at least throw one of the sports analogies in there. But I know a lot of times, right, we always want to score. We always want to get the ball into the end zone and finally cross that bridge where somebody becomes a Christian. But truthfully, that's not how it normally works for people. Imagine you would be at a football game and, you know, so this is the end zone and somebody's really far away from it, right? And the coach would say, all right, guys, we're ready to go. From now on, you're just going to throw Hail Marys every time, all the way into the end zone. That wouldn't work. In fact, that would probably hurt the team more than it would help them. What's the game? What's the goal in football? Right? We're moving down the field 10 yards at a time, 2 yards at a time. And truthfully, the same is true a lot when we're engaging people in spiritual conversations. Somebody may be really far away from Jesus and they're not quite ready to, you know, to meet him, but maybe they just need to see some love. Maybe they just need to say, hey, somebody bought me a coffee and said, man, do you know Jesus loves you? And it moves him down the field a little bit more. That's already a win. Or maybe somebody is in the middle of a field and they're not sure about this Jesus, but they're exploring them and somebody says, hey, you know, can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? I just care for you. I just want to love you. Let me just pray for you. And you do it and Jesus shows up and all of a sudden they're moving further down the field. But then also don't be afraid if somebody's ready to make a decision, then make a decision and help them take that step. That's why we need to be ready to share faith always. Because we don't want people to miss out. That is going to be the decision-making factor if they're where they're going to spend eternity. And so we don't want people to miss out on that. But don't feel like every conversation has to go all the way there. And the best way we can do that is simply by being respectful. By simply taking the cues of people, being respectful, relaxing, and then also reflecting on our experience. So we want to make sure that people understand that we love them, that we care for them. That's why I love our 5 B's, because it starts with building relationships. But then we also want to make sure that as we make it a habit to be a follower of Jesus that shares about his faith, that we continue to grow in it too. Nobody's perfect the first time they can go in through this. And maybe God is going to do something incredible in this upcoming week. And I can't wait to hear how God has used. And we want to use it as an opportunity for you to grow and to be encouraged. And so we created an email address, stories@opendoor.tv or story. You can text the word story. It gives you a link and a form to fill out for you to share it so we can encourage others how Jesus shows up when we step out of our comfort zone, when we get a little bit uncomfortable, but we're not afraid about sharing what Jesus has done. Now, for us as a church, I challenged our staff that we need to lead by example. And so what we did is one Wednesday night, where normally we would get together and we would all meet generally here in Elyria, and normally we worship together or we learn something together or we discuss ministry and how we can serve you better. But that day, I just challenged the staff and said, you know what? You stay at your campus, find some people, and then you go into the community and you start sharing about your faith first. And so I want to share with you 4 stories that came out of that from different people at different stages in life. And so the first one I want to share with you, just to encourage you, is from Tony Reyes. Tony is our worship leader in Lorraine. He's a great guy. He loves Jesus. And so why don't we listen to his story and how he got what he did when he was challenged to go out into the community. Let's take a look.
So a couple weeks ago, the Lord impressed in my heart to go to the title office in downtown Lorraine and just buy the employees their coffee. So I walk in, wait in line with everyone else who's getting their plates and their tags. And I just said, hey, I would love to buy coffee for you guys here in the office. And oh man, the faces of all the employees just were stunned. You know, they just couldn't believe somebody would want to do something for them like that. And so I walked over to coffee shop, brought them back coffee, and just told them that the Lord had impressed me to buy coffee for them. And their expressions were, who does this for someone? And man, in my heart, all I could think was, this is something that the Lord rejoices in when all of his people do, when we love people and share the love of Christ in simple and easy ways. So I hope that they come to know the Lord and are blessed by that.
Isn't that cool? How easy that is sometimes. Just take coffee to somebody. And truthfully, there's probably not many people coming in the smiling office in the DMV or title office. But just to come in and say, hey, let me just share the love of Jesus with you. Here's a cup of coffee. We all can do that. We all can take a step. Next story I want to share with you is of Teresa. And Teresa is from our Elyria campus. She is actually in charge of our church database. I know many of you thinking that's got to be the most exciting job in the world. But she does a great job. But what I love about her story is that she's not the person normally that would necessarily go out and share her faith, right? Database people aren't necessarily tuned to that. So why don't we listen to what God did through her?
Okay, so we went to Ely Square. We met several people that were very receptive to being prayed for. I gave money to a couple of them, helped them on their way, and they just all were very receptive, and it was a blessing to me. And one thing that that I fell back on is the words from Luke 12:12, where it says, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say when you need them. So that was my backup plan.
Love that. Didn't know what God was going to do, put myself out of my comfort zone, but trusted that God's word says that he's going to put the words in my mouth, even if I don't know what to say, and he shows up. She got an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody that we thought never would listen to it and certainly would never otherwise rub shoulders with her. Now, we also got some people on staff that are really excited about evangelism and discipleship and going out and sharing Jesus with the community, and so I want to share with you one of those people. That's Pastor Charlie. He's our campus pastor in Avon Lake. And they went to a really unusual place. Take a look.
So Gabe and I talked about, where do we want to go? Where do we think the most hurting people are in our community? And so for us, that's the local bar. That's where people go when they're really struggling with life and to wash away some of their pain with alcohol. And so we went to a bar and spent some time there. We got to know some of the people. The bartender had some great conversations with her and heard a little about her story. We met a guy there who was there on his lunch break and enjoying some alcohol, and he had some struggles in life. We were able to just open up and have conversations. For us, we were going to their home turf. We felt like if we want to find broken and hurting people, we're going to find them in a bar. And so they're never going to step foot in a church, but for them, that's a place where they can go and be known. And so we're really excited for this door to be open, for the opportunity for us to continue to get to know some of these people, even the people we got to meet and hear their stories, to continue to touch base with them and get to know them on a deeper level and share the hope of Christ in a dark place.
I think for us as a church, that's what we're called. We need to be light in the darkness. I think the times are over in our churches where we can just sit back and wait for people to come. No, we need to go out and we need to share about Jesus. And I just love the story of saying, yeah, we want to continue to do this. We're building relationships. It's not a one-time thing and I'm done now that I've done my task. No, we want to continue to go back and back and back. And then last, but certainly not least, I want to share you the story about my assistant, Myra. She is an amazing person. She would also tell you that she is not the likely outreach person that loves to share about her faith and just in the public space. She's very committed to Jesus, no doubt, but she's not necessarily somebody that would go out and share Jesus with anybody around her. But I love how God showed up in a surprising way for her. Let's listen to her.
As we were walking around the Elyria Square, I saw these young men sitting on the bench, and one of them was very quite talkative because I'd mentioned something about a Michael Jordan t-shirt that he had on. And that just kind of opened things up a little bit for us, a conversation starter. But then he really opened up by telling about how he has had charges pressed against him and he's having a lot of difficulty finding a job. And this was something he said, I really want to work, it's just that no one will take a chance on me. But what excited me was when we offered to pray with him, he said yes, and he seemed to be very receptive to that. So we invited him to the church. And so what I'd like for you to take away from this is that look for opportunities that you have that you may not even be aware of that people really are seeking.
Correct. Isn't that awesome? Look for opportunities. Invite the Spirit into that conversation. And so let me challenge you this week. Don't make excuses. It's way too easy. Don't make excuses, but go put yourself out there. See if God may prompt you in a conversation. Maybe he's challenging you, and I can't wait to hear the stories that are going to come out of Elyria and Avon Lake and Vermilion and Lorraine this week. And so I want to end our time together in a song. And so why don't we all, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up at all of our campuses and just lead us in a final commissioning. We want to say, Jesus, send me. We want to say, Jesus, would you reach me? Would you use me today? Would you allow me to share my faith with somebody that I may not know? I'm available. I love the lyrics in the song that talks about, hey, let my yes be a yes before you even ask what the question is. I want to say yes to you. And so why don't we all stand, and then I'm going to say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I thank you for the challenge that it is, God, to us, that if we don't know you, if we're just here exploring, or we're here because somebody asked us to, or invited us especially, God, would you just meet us today? Would you just allow us to take a step closer to you, to stay curious, to ask questions, and to be bold enough and humble enough and teachable enough to ask somebody else, saying, hey, can you answer some questions for me? Can you help me with this? God, and then also be bold to take an action. Not to wait until I have all the answers, but to say, Jesus, I'm just going to trust you now. And I'm going to take that leap of faith. I'm going to step into you. I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you. And God, if we've been walking with you for a long time, would you just allow us, Spirit, to see people through your eyes this week? Would you just allow us to step into the unknown and saying, God, just use me. I'm here. I listen to you. I want to obey you. I may not do it perfectly, but that's okay because it's your job to convert people, not me. But God, I am available to you. Here I am. Send me. Amen.